Hello, this is Mary, and I'm rereading selections from the Pantograph from Monday, December 15th, 2025. From the front page, community makes me feel warm. Volunteers defy wind, cold, to give gifts at children's Christmas party. By D. Jack Alkery. Normal. Even though she was in a snowstorm Saturday morning, directing traffic at Midwest Food Bank, Briere Thwaite was not bothered by the wind and cold. Her work kept her warm as she guided about 600 families through the line at the 43rd Annual Children's Christmas Party, where enough toys to gift more than 2,700 local kids awaited. "Makes me feel warm," she said, putting a hand over her heart as she stood outside the facility on the north end of Normal. "I love it. I have nieces, so if we weren't able to provide, I'm glad that we have a community that would provide for them." Thwaite is an apprentice with LIUNA Local 362, and one of dozens of volunteers who defied the weather conditions to ensure those in need would not miss out this holiday season. Volunteers selected toys based on children's age group, from age 0 to 12, said lead organizer Sean Eicher, "but we do take kids over 12. We just try to fulfill their needs with basketballs, footballs, soccer balls." The Bloomington Bison Hockey Organization even donated a pallet of teddy bears that were collected at a recent game. But that wasn't all. Karen Schmidt, who operates the Book Bike, is providing books for every age specific to their age. Eicher said, "Ferraro has supplied full-size candy bars. They're all getting toothbrushes. Then, of course, the Pantograph is here giving $50 gift cards." Pantograph Goodfellow Fund raised $4,000 and had 800 gift cards on hand to distribute, said Olivia Jacobs, one of the nonprofit organization's five trustees and lifestyle reporter for the Pantograph. "I'm very happy we can help in this way," she said. "It helps make me feel really good to see how these families come through, even though the weather outside is frightful." Saturday was not the first time the children's Christmas party weathered the storm, said Mike Matika, a retired local labor leader and longtime volunteer for the event. "This is our 43rd year, so we've done this during other snowstorms, ice storms," he said. "But every once in a while, you peek in a back seat, you see a kid with a big smile. Many of these families, without this, there's nothing under the tree. And so, this makes a significant difference in terms of them being able to really share in the holiday spirit." "The cheer and joy start as soon as the families arrive and see Santa," said volunteer Callie Farrell. "Some kids have been so excited, they're like, 'Can we have a photo?'" Farrell said. "And it's heartwarming watching a little girl dance because she got to have a photo with Santa this time of year when, you know, a family might not have the opportunity to take them to the mall." The children's Christmas party started more than four decades ago when Laborers No. 362 partnered with the McLean County Chamber of Commerce to give back. In years past, it was a more traditional party attended by families. However, they shifted to a drive-through format in 2020 because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to socially distance, Eicher said. "We've just kind of rolled with it because it seems to work best," she said. Eicher has organized the party for 8 years, but she has been active for pretty much each one as her father, John Penn, was a lifelong leader within Laborers 362. "I was pretty much raised in this. This is our community, and this is what we do to give back," she said. "The McLean County community is unique in its willingness to gift back," said Thwaite, who grew up an hour outside of Bloomington. "We didn't have this kind of stuff where I come from," she said. "Events like the Christmas party showcase the community's heart," said Farrell, herself a transplant to Central Illinois. Whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, The labor unions, Bloomington Bison, now, some State Farm people, everyone shows up and shows that it matters, she said. It shows the community cares. I'm not with all of my family members, but I do definitely feel family here. There were several pictures along with this story, including volunteer Tanner Kennedy speaking with Mrs. Claus about what toys to best select for children. Another photo showed the pantographs Olivia Jacobs representing the Goodfellow Fund and handing out gift cards at the party. And a picture of the snowy day with a lineup of cars. 800 cars and families drove through the snowstorm on Saturday, December 13th, to attend the 43rd annual Children's Christmas Party, hosted by the McLean County Chamber of Commerce and LIUNA number 362 at Midwest Food Bank. Turning to page 2, today's flick fact. Question. At one time, the pantograph had part-time reporters known as stringers, who were based in the towns throughout the readership area. 80 years ago, in 1946, do you know how many communities had pantograph reporters? Answer. Incredibly, 95 in 1946. Not a typo, and we're not even including Bloomington and Normal. Thanks to Bill Kemp, archivist at the McLean County Museum of History. How time flies. 100 years ago, December 15th, 1925. After being for 25 years one of the leading social organizations of Bloomington, the Illinois Club will soon become but a memory. After January 1st, 1926, it will cease to exist, but will be succeeded by the Odd Fellows Social Club, membership being limited to those affiliated with the fraternal organization of the Three Links. 75 years ago, 1950, most of the stores in Bloomington will be open nights for Christmas shoppers all next week. No exact closing hour has been adopted, but most stores are expected to close at 8:30 or 9 p.m., Monday through Friday. 50 years ago, 1975, 7 employees with 15 years or more of service will receive awards on December 15th at a Christmas tea at Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Children's School in Normal. 25 years ago, 2000, 2 major snowstorms during finals week made travel on the Illinois State University campus tough for children, for students who use wheelchairs, says an advocate for disabled students. Adam Corelli, who uses a wheelchair, said ISU was slow in plowing the campus sidewalks during this week's bad weather, and the pedestrian bridge over College Avenue was especially bad, he said. The crusade against snow is not the first for Corelli, who helped found FIRST AID, which stands for Advocates for Individuals with Disabilities. The 40-member group elected a board 2 weeks ago and will apply to become a registered student organization next semester. Turning to page 3, local and state news. Beware Wintry Safety Hazards by D. Jack Alkery, Bloomington. When house fires are a chief concern during the holidays, residents may face other safety concerns during the winter months, too. By the second week of November, the Bloomington Police Department had already responded to one person falling from a ladder while hanging decorations, said Frank Friend, public information officer with the department. That person suffered an orthopedic injury, but the issue becomes more dire when the decorator is alone, Friend said. Sometimes people will go outside and they'll start hanging Christmas lights. They're by themselves, while maybe a spouse is out running errands, he said. And the next thing you know, we have people who have been lying on the outside ground for a longer period of time. The same can also happen after the holiday season, he said. Then, when people go to take those down, usually the weather is even more inclement, and they're in a rush to get them down. And we see instances where people are falling off ladders at that point, too, Friend said. Besides ladder safety, residents often overlook or underprepare while driving on icy roads, Friend said. They're just prepared to go down the road, running errands, but they're not prepared if they get stranded alongside of the road, he said. Roadside kits can be lifesavers if drivers and passengers find themselves stuck on the road. A kit can be as simple as a bucket filled with blankets, snacks, and phone chargers, the fire captain said. There's just a lot of things that people struggle with and have to manage in their life that creates these safety issues that we just want folks to keep in mind, he said. 5 displaced after house fire. Robin Gauchy Skaggs, Bloomington. 5 people were displaced after a house fire in Bloomington. The Bloomington Fire Department was called at 10:43 a.m. to a fire in the 600 block of East Chestnut Street, according to a news relief from the Bloomington Fire Department. The first units arrived at 8:46 a.m. and found smoke and fire in the attic of a 3-story house that had been converted into apartments. Due to the conditions, additional units were called to help, the news release said. Crews stretched a hose line to the 3rd-floor attic, where there's extreme heat and flames, BFD said. A second ceiling collapsed onto the 2nd floor, and the fire spread. Crews extended additional hoses and continued working to search the building, ventilate the roof, and tear down ceilings to check for other hidden fires, the news release said. Cold weather, snow, and the 4-square style of the building made firefighting more difficult, BFD said, explaining that this style of home does not typically have fire stops in the walls. It took nearly an hour to bring the fire under control. Off-duty firefighters were called in to help at the scene and to help cover other calls. The Normal Fire Department also came to assist at the scene. No one was hurt in the fire, but 5 adults were displaced and were receiving help from the Red Cross, BFD said. The building sustained heavy smoke, fire, and water damage. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. The building did have working smoke detectors, BFD said, and a passerby also notified the occupants of the fire. Public safety. Collision alert issued in McLean County, Bloomington. The McLean County Sheriff's Office announced Saturday afternoon it is operating under a special collision alert because the snowstorm that dumped several inches of snow over the area. According to a post on the office's Facebook page, drivers who are involved in minor collisions with no apparent injuries should exchange insurance information and return home. They should then report the incident to the sheriff's office within 48 hours after the alert is lifted. For emergencies such as accidents with injuries, continue to dial 911, the sheriff's office said. For non-emergencies or minor accidents with property damage only, dial 309-888-5030. The sheriff's office will continue to dispatch deputies if a motorist is involved in an accident that involves any type of injury or their vehicle is unable to be removed from the roadway, creating a hazard. A cancellation notice for the collision alert will be sent out when conditions approve. Morton Cookery Closes Up Its Shop by Cassidy Wagand, Peoria Journal-Star. Morton. The cookery has made the tough call to permanently close after failing to sell the business and having no workable path to keep operating. The business, 2029 South Main Street in Morton, offered cooking classes, catering services, and to-go meals. Its ownership announced the decision in a recent Facebook post, which also noted, Because the business is insolvent, we aren't able to honor the remaining gift cards. I know that's disappointing, and I truly wish we were in a position to do more. Those who have unused gift cards will be given access to the cookery's full digital library via an emailed download link, according to the business. An online auction is underway through JK Auctions, with a soft close for bidding scheduled for 7:30 p.m. on December 20th. The business said everything we own is being auctioned off. The auction website lists stoves, a commercial dishwasher, refrigerators, countertop appliances, cooking pots, stainless steel workstations, holiday baking items and decor, dishware, and more. The auction can be found at jkauctionhouse.hibid.com. This isn't the way we imagine things ending, but I want to say thank you for showing up, for cooking with us, for supporting us, and for being part of this whole adventure, the business said in its announcement. It meant a lot. Winter Virus Season, So Far Not Too Bad, by Mike Stabby, New York. It may feel like you are surrounded by sniffles and coughs, but flu season activity is still low in many parts of the U.S. New government data posted Friday show that as of last week, flu activity was high in four states, Colorado, Louisiana, New Jersey, and New York, and minimal or low in most others. Severity indicators are increasing, but still within the boundaries of a mild season, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention officials said. A number of diseases tend to peak in the winter, thanks to indoor gatherings that help germs spread. The list includes not only cold and flu, but also norovirus, a highly infectious illness that can cause vomiting and diarrhea. Norovirus cases generally trended up in the past month. Experts are closely watching the flu. The last flu season was bad, with the overall flu hospitalization rate the highest since the H1N1 flu pandemic 15 years ago. With the addition of a late reported case, child flu deaths reached 288, the worst recorded for a regular U.S. flu season, and the same number seen in the 2009-2010 flu pandemic. This season's first pediatric flu death was reported this week. There are reasons to fear that this winter might be bad. One type of flu virus, called AH3N2, historically caused the most hospitalizations and deaths in older people. So far this season, that's the most frequently reported. Even more concerning, 89% of the new H3N2 infections analyzed were a new version, known as the subclade K variant, that differs from the strain in this year's flu shots. Flu shot seasons don't peak until around February, so it's too early to know how big a problem that match will be. The CDC recommends that everyone 6 months and older get an annual vaccination, and public health experts say it's not too late. About 42% of U.S. adults and 41% of children have gotten flu shots so far this season. The shots may not prevent all symptoms, but can prevent many symptoms from becoming severe. That appears to be true for this year's shot. The new vaccines may be helping. In 2023, the government licensed new RSV vaccines for pregnant women and older people, and injections of laboratory-made versions of antibodies for infants. Perhaps, glass half full, we're cumulatively getting more people slowly vaccinated against RSV. And because the virus mutates far less quickly than flu or COVID, the one vaccine you might have had as an older adult 2 or 3 years ago is likely to be effective. As of October, about 41% of Americans 75 and older were vaccinated, and about 40% of infants were reported to be protected, CDC says. The Trump administration, which appointed vaccine skeptics to public health leadership and advisory positions, this week opened a review of the two injectable drugs used to protect babies and toddlers, despite no signs of safety issues. COVID-19 activity right now is relatively low. This week, research was published showing the COVID-19 vaccine can keep kids from developing a severe illness. Among children 9 months to 4 years, the shots were 76% effective against symptoms severe enough to send a child to a hospital ER or urgent care center. Among kids 5 to 17 years old, it was 56% effective. Other reports have found the shots are safe and effective for children. These reports came out after Trump administration officials stopped recommending COVID-19 vaccines for healthy children, and as anti-vaccine advocates petitioned the government to revoke licenses for the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. Few people are getting the shot this year. About 7% of children and 15% of adults so far have gotten this season's version of the COVID-19 vaccine. In October, the agency stopped recommending COVID-19 shots for anyone, leaving the choice up to patients. Several doctors' groups and scientific organizations argued against watering down vaccination recommendations for a disease that was a primary contributing factor in more than 1.2 million U.S. deaths. From Section B, the sports section, Illini Fall on Buzzer Beater by Steve Stein. Champagne. Jamarcus Lawrence hit a three-point shot with less than a second remaining Saturday to give number 23 in Nebraska an 83-80 win over number 13 Illinois. The undefeated Huskers, 11-0, are off to the best start in program history. Tomislav Ivicic's three-pointer, his only points of the game, with 17 seconds to go, deadlocked the game at 80-all for the Illini, 8-3, who trailed by as many as 10 points in the second half. Lawrence finished with 14 points. Price Sanford scored a career-high 32 points, and Rank Mast had 17 points for the Huskers in their first road game of the season. Kylan Boswell scored 20 points for Illinois, which led for only 16 seconds early in the first half. Keaton Wagler had 19 points for the Illini. The Huskers, ranked for the first time since 2018, have now won a program record 15 in a row, dating to last season. The Illini had won 6 straight at home against Nebraska. They're now 15-3 all-time against the Huskers at the State Farm Center, 10-2 in the Big Ten. Next up for Illinois, they will take on Missouri on December 22nd in St. Louis in the annual Bragging Rights game. Bears put Browns in deep freeze by Sean Hammond. Coach Ben Johnson said this past week that the Chicago Bears desperately needed a win against the Cleveland Browns. His team took care of business Sunday at Soldier Field. The Bears handled the Browns easily, winning 31-3 in front of 54,000 fans in one of the coldest games ever played at Soldier Field. The temperature at kickoff was 8 degrees. The Browns' offense might have been colder. Cleveland had only one first down in the first half and failed to find the end zone at all in the game. They finished with just 197 total yards. The Bears improved to 10-4, their first 10-win season since 2018, and remained in playoff position in the NFC. National and World News, The Digest. Pilot says jet almost hit refueling tanker. Washington, a JetBlue flight from the small Caribbean nation of Curacao halted its ascent to avoid colliding with a U.S. Air Force refueling tanker on Friday, and the pilot blamed the military plane for crossing his path. "We almost had a mid-air collision up there," the JetBlue pilot said, according to a recording of his conversation with air traffic control. "They'd pass directly in our flight path. They don't have their transponder turned on. It's outrageous." The incident involved JetBlue Flight 1112 from Curacao, which is just off the coast of Venezuela, en route to New York City's JFK Airport. Mideast. Hamas confirmed the death Sunday of a top commander in Gaza, a day after Israel said it killed Raed Saad in a strike outside Gaza City. The Hamas statement described Saad as the commander of its military manufacturing unit. Iraq. The result of last month's parliamentary elections in Iraq was ratified by the Supreme Federal Court on Sunday, confirming that the party of caretaker minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani won the largest number of seats, but not enough to assure him of a second term. The Vatican. Pope Leo XIV criticized prison overcrowding and insufficient inmate rehabilitation programs Sunday as he celebrated a special mass for detainees, guards, and their families in the final event of the Vatican's 2025 Holy Year. In other local news, McLean County Courts, man from Normal gets 8 years in prison. By Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A man from Normal has been sentenced to 8 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to a cocaine offense. Keith A. Wright, 46, appeared before Judge William Yoder for a pretrial hearing before he was scheduled to go to jury trial. During the hearing, he pleaded guilty to one count of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, a Class 1 felony. Initially, Wright faced two counts of unlawful possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver and three counts of unlawful possession of a controlled substance. According to court records, he was accused of possessing 1 to 15 grams of fentanyl, cocaine, and alprazolam. Assistant State's Attorney Alexandra Williams dismissed his remaining charges Wednesday after he entered the guilty plea. Yoder sentenced Wright to 8 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections with credit for 295 days already served, to be served at 50%, and followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Wright was represented by First Assistant Public Defender Michael Cutters, who could not be reached for comment. Tazewell County hosts Christmas tree recycling program. Pekin. The Tazewell County Health Department, in collaboration with Tazewell Green Initiatives, is sponsoring a Christmas tree recycling program that will run from December 26th to January 15th. Trees that have been stripped of lights and other decorations can be taken to one of the following locations: Illinois Central College's East Campus, behind Green Valley Village Mall, behind Hopedale Village Hall, 605 Orchard Street in Mackinac, behind the recycling bin at Park Street in Pennsylvania in Minier, Lakewood Park in Morton, maintenance parking lot in Washington. Pekin residents can leave their trees on the curb during the first 2 weeks in January to be collected by city crews. For more information, contact TCHD Environmental Health at 309-929-0272. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the reading of the Pantograph from Monday, December 15th, 2025. Please stay tuned.